I just wanted to let some people know who may have come in later. There's a hole in the middle here, and people have mentioned Amir. He is on his way to Toronto in a train right now, so he will be arriving.
Any minute now.
But our next speaker is Chris Brown, who's an activist in Montreal and a member of Québec Solidaire.
So I'm just here basically to share with you some stories and to sort of tell you, I wish you all could have a Québec solidaire because it's really wonderful.
Ontario solidaire.
Exactly, Ontario solidaire. But and it's interesting because I can pretty much tell the whole history in not too much time. Not very often that happens given that it is only a couple months old and its founding, its parents are only, you know, 3 years old. So I thought I'd just start briefly with the UFP. Which I was involved in from the beginning. And I know you've probably heard like the UFP's motto, Parti des urnes et de la rue, it's like a party of the ballot boxes, end of the street. And it was, I mean, I used to work, you know, be around the NDP and stuff like that, and, you know, had some experience, never terribly impressed, though, of course, you know, solidarity. But when the UFP was founded, you know, the experience, I think, was qualitatively different. It was not, I didn't know what to expect, right? Because when you're with the NDP, sometimes they come out to a demonstration. And usually, though, it will be about carrying a banner, maybe sort of building the party, and basically preparing for the next election. Fair enough, you know, Social Democratic Party, that's what you're going to do. The UFP was not like that. From the outset, and maybe it was just the time that it was born in, the context, coming out of FTAA, 2001 movement, and right after September 11th, and then the anti-war movement was beginning already. And I remember going to those massive, massive demonstrations we had in Montreal, where we had 250,000 people marching against the war in Iraq, and that's probably one of the reasons why Canada didn't get involved directly. But the UFP was there. We had members on the Échec à la guerre organizing committees. We built these demonstrations. We had our members out. We had a visible presence, and we grew. We recruited dozens and dozens of new members from these demonstrations, and I think that really set the tone for what this new party was going to look like. And then it was interesting for me because I'm English, and here I am working in a sovereigntist party in Quebec, but my milieu is mostly English people, and in Quebec, it's still kind of two solitudes, you know, like if you go to Concordia University or McGill University, those are English schools, and it's quite difficult to make an argument as to why people should vote for a separatist party, but that's exactly what we had to do, and what we got a lot of experience doing that. And then the flip side is, of course, arguing with Francophones why they should vote for a party that's not the PQ. Because if you're basically just seeing self-determination in Quebec, well, independence basically as a goal in and of itself, then logically you should probably just vote for the PQ so you can have your own Quebec that looks like Canada that's just called Quebec, and that's probably the most effective way to do it. So the common thread, though, right, was class politics, and that's what we got to argue with both sides, was the class politics. And this is something qualitatively different. And finally, we began to move beyond the historic, I think, divide in Quebec, where French people just vote for the PQ because they're French, and English people vote for the Liberals, which is, you know, a boss's party, because they're English. And we got to be arguing about, you know, socialist principles, class principles, and I thought it was quite exciting. And didn't mean it was automatic. We had a long, you know, argument inside of the UFP of how we should approach, for instance, the labor movement, right? Because Jean Charest gets elected in 2003. He starts attacking the unions, forcing mergers. The unions responded rather badly, you might say. They basically responded to Jean Charest's forced mergers by saying, not refusing them altogether, which is what they should have done, but they're like, okay, this is the new reality, we'll just raid each other. So then they spent millions and millions of dollars and years of time and, you know, hundreds of thousands of labor hours raiding each other, basically doing Charest's dirty work. And it did split the movement. And people in the UFP were understandably reluctant to tell the union leadership what they should do. for various historical reasons stemming from the 1970s. But we ended up coming up with an interesting, I'd say, way to approach the labor movement. I'll just give the one example. In last summer of 2005, all of the big hotels in Montreal are unionized with the CSN, the five-star hotels, basically. You go there, taking the Ritz-Carlton, like the creme de la creme, but all the workers are unionized, and they have very strong unions. And one of these hotels, the management was being extra tough. It was the Omni Hotel on Sherbrooke Street. And all the other hotels had settled. The Omni were still out. And this is the role that we got to play as socialists, was we actually went into the UFP, into the Montreal Organizing Committee, and we said, well, we've talked in the past about having like a labor solidarity coalition or flying squad inside the UFP. Now's the time to put it into practice. There's sort of a lukewarm reception at first. You're like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, but we actually had to organize it ourselves and go and do it. So we did it. We went out Sunday, we showed up, and we just introduced ourselves as being from the UFP, and people were really happy we were there. And we just went back, and every Sunday we hung out in the picket line for a couple of hours, and it actually made a really big difference. The workers were really happy we were there. And they had a really big rally, like about maybe a week before they finally settled. A couple hundred labor activists came, and they didn't forget that the UFP was there. They actually stood up there, the president of the union local publicly thanked the UFP flying squad for that solidarity, and that was an incredible result, and it was reciprocated inside the UFP with the recognition that, like, holy crap, we should have a permanent labor committee, right? Like, we won the argument by making facts on the ground, which for me was a really, really exciting and interesting experience in the UFP. I thought now I would talk about the actual campaigns, because we actually run in politics and elections as well. The first one I participated in was called Red Flag Over Westmount. For those of you who are familiar with Dave Fenario, he's a member of the International Socialist and the UFP in Quebec Solidaire now, and he's a playwright. He wrote Balcanville, so he's actually quite well known around the English people in Westmount. But the problem with Westmount, of course, is that it's one of the wealthiest neighborhoods in Canada, and I think they've voted in the Liberal Party ever since there's been elections. So we campaigned pretty hard. There's a handful of us Anglos, like, running around arguing with rich Anglos why they should vote for a separatist party, like a separatist party. You know, we actually did not too bad. We got 3% of the vote. The Liberals got 80% of the vote. We were happy, you know. Good start.
No expectation.
Yeah, exactly. And there are other by-elections that happened where the UFP did somewhat better. And I guess around this time, Option Citoyenne is being formed, and I'm not going to elaborate too much on Option Citoyenne, but basically came out of the I'd say like the women's movement, essentially. The World March of Women had gone to the Quebec government with specific demands while it was the PQ, while it was Bouchard, and the PQ rebuffed their demands, said, you know, we're not going to, why should we meet with you? Fédération des Femmes Québec, who the hell are you, kind of thing. Well, I think they alienated some key constituents, because then Françoise David and a number of other people first made D'abord Solidaire, and then they started this new political formation, basically with the idea of having a united left. And I'm so glad that the PQ was that intransigent, because it really helped us, actually. It really helped to break away this, you know, their left flank that was stuck to them, but they just couldn't find an excuse to free themselves. So this started happening, but we didn't really work with them electorally until the campaign of Omar Aktouf. And that was last, when was that, October? September, October. Another by-election, again, not in the most ideal riding. It was in Outremont, which has voted solidly liberal for the past 60 or 80 years. But we decided what the heck we're going to go with it. He's, you know, somebody who's known on the left, happens to be a professor of management at Asher-Say, which is the
business school.
This is the business school, basically. But a left-wing professor, and, you know, we'll go with it. Option Citoyenne finally actually began to work with us. That was sort of the testing ground. So we had people from the UFP and from Option Citoyenne all working together. It was a huge campaign. We worked really, really hard. And I remember going around in the freezing rain, like literally freezing rain, putting up the election posters, getting drenched. It was hellish, and going door to door. And we had a, you know, just a massive campaign. But so did the other parties. They mobilized.
How well did you do?
I'll tell. Like, we were expecting to have pretty good results. We were hoping for double digits, basically, because we worked really hard and we thought we were going to get it. But the other parties mobilized too. Like Jean Charest came and he campaigned personally, and about 20 liberal MPs campaigned personally. André Boisclair had just been, I think he was he elected then? No, he wasn't elected. But like tons of PQ people came. It was a huge, huge battle. And so in the end, we only got 7% of the vote. And people were kind of disappointed. They're like, 7%, man, this sucks. This is terrible. We worked so hard. And I, you know, everybody was a little disappointed, but I think what they failed to take into consideration was the political climate, right? The liberals had attacked the labor movement to such an extent that we'd gone back from being open to looking for a new alternative to neoliberal politics. And basically, it was again strategic voting. Vote for the PQ, get rid of the liberals. And the PQ milked it. The PQ even ran on a pro-immigrant, like anti-racist campaign. They tried to, which is like such a huge departure from the days of Jacques Parizeau, if people remember Jacques Parizeau's famous comments. I mean, people were shocked, right? They pulled out all the stops, and undoubtedly in part because they felt a big threat coming on their left flank, so they moved left to try and cover a lot of that territory. And actually, the liberals did way worse than they've ever done before. They won, but they just squeaked in. The PQ did better. We did better in the UFP, and the Greens did better. So overall, you know, you could actually see a leftward shift in the electorate. Unfortunately, it didn't translate into success. The thing was, Omar Aktouf was like out of the country for 3 weeks of a 4-week campaign. So this happened, and we're kind of like, all right, you know, we know we can run a campaign. We didn't quite get the results we were hoping for, but we'll just go ahead. And then we had the merger, the Congrès de Fondation of Québec Solidaire. And like Benoit said, that was something else. There was about 1,100 people who packed into an auditorium, and the atmosphere was just electric. People cheered, and we had, I don't know, massive media coverage. There was like every French paper, even some international media coverage. It was really, really cool. And that event, I think, re-energized people, because straight out of that, we went into this latest by-election. It was the by-election in Saint-Marie-Saint-Jacques. Finally we had like a little bit more favorable conditions in a place that normally votes PQ, but that's quite progressive. 200 people came to the investiture meeting of the candidate, whose name is Manon Massé, who was very active historically in the Quebec women's movement and other progressive movements. And Manon Massé actually campaigned. You know, it makes a difference, I gotta say. In the end, and I think we were all shocked by this, Quebec Solidaire won 22% of the vote. Which shocked everybody. I mean, we burst onto the scene, and now like we're not just significant for a left-wing party, we're just significant as any party. Like, We took a lot of votes from the PQ. We took votes from the Liberals. And we decimated the ADQ. They didn't even register. And the ADQ is like the sort of far right, or, you know, the Conservative Party of Quebec. So the they got 2%. And their posters were huge. So it was good, and we're all sort of pumped, and that was just a month ago, exactly. Time flies. So that's sort of where it ended off, and then just last thing, a decent-sized contingent at May Day, and I'm not sure if there's like a new breath coming into the Quebec movement here, because the union leaders, and I don't agree with them, they say that there were 50,000 people at May Day. I don't think it was quite that many, but there was many, many, many thousands of people, and we were there, and we were